So activity can phenomenally help you keep a customer engaged, and that is something which then eventually amounts to customer retention. You know, if it's a family that you know eats out on weekends very often, and we know how restless children get when they have to wait, and it becomes very cumbersome for the parents to manage those restless children. But if they have a favorite restaurant where the activity engagement while you're waiting to be seated at a table is such that you know it reduces the effort of you know managing the children, you know managing their restlessness, children being high energy and you know curious, then chances are that the family is going to go back to this restaurant again and again, and they're going to be repeat customers. For example, one of these fast food outlets, I don't know if you have noticed, but they give these paper, you know, with your trays, the paper in the paper covering, a simple paper covering or a paper a leaf with your tray or where you sit at the table. Is full of drawings, is full of crosswords, is full of little jokes, is full of little activities, which I have seen very often. Not just the children get busy with those. I have also seen adults like get busy with those and get very engaged while you know you're waiting for your order to get ready. So simple little things like this can make it a very engaging experience and can ensure that your customer is satisfied and keeps coming back to you. And you retain the customer, which eventually, of course, helps you in your profitability. So tracking time, efficiency, assessments, all of these are really important in the excitement and frenzy to attend to respond to a client. It's important to keep in mind that don't end up overcommitting and overcommitting things you can't deliver or you don't have the buy-in of the right senior stakeholders in terms of delivering. So also be very, you know, when it comes to queuing and when it comes to giving estimates, give a realistic estimate where if you know, in your excitement and in your overambition, you tell a customer, "Sir, I'll be back. I'll get back to you. I'll resolve it by the end of the day." Whereas the customer is saying, "Please give me a realistic time frame," and you don't resolve it by the end of the day, the customer gets very irate. Versus if you realistically tell them, "Sir, within 72 hours you'll have a resolution," and that gives you enough time to resolve it without making any errors, making it foolproof, and then getting back, then that is appreciated that much more. You know, recently there was an issue with a banker that someone was facing, and they escalated the issue. You know, as the system, customer service system works, you know, go first go to the managers. It was not resolved, so they escalated it to, you know, nodal regional head or something like that. And the you know all of these tickets are audited. So in that excitement to close it and respond and you know make up for the fact that you know a pending issue has reached a senior nodal level, they responded really quickly but with an erroneous resolution. So then the issue got escalated to the CEO level, and then of course top down everyone was pulled up, and then of course they had a turnaround time and all of that. But instead of then rectifying the mistake and you know getting these brickbats, they could have taken their appropriate time and responded with an accurate resolution rather than responding with a resolution which was inaccurate, in which case it wasn't a resolution at all. So various elements of you know queuing that we are discussing in that both online and offline queues can be envisaged and imagined. Now, of course, as we are talking, as far as customer service is concerned, more and more of it is online. More than 80%, just in the Indian context, of customer service issues are handled by chatbots, are handled by AI. Another very interesting data that this ServiceNow survey found is that of the people they surveyed, and they surveyed both customer service agents and customers, and 84% of them, almost approximately 84% of them, said that if you are not happy with the resolution or if there is an endless wait time, you know, because We are made to wait endlessly. Not only are you made to wait endlessly, you're transferred from one department to the other, and the whole circle keeps going. And all every time someone says, you know, they don't even bother to listen to you fully, and they say, yes, I'm transferring you. Yes, I'm, and you get transferred from one department to the other. So endless waiting put off a lot of customers, and more than 84% of them said that, you know, after this horrible experience of waiting endlessly, we are very happily going to go back and post about this and give a negative post about this, negative review about this online on some platform or the other. Now you see, today these people have become your detractors, and instead of being promoters, this is bad word of mouth which is going to keep going in circles. So it's very important to track these elements and to take them seriously and not ignore them, because then tomorrow it's going to be, you know, someone might, I as a customer might go online and I might see really bad reviews of a certain company that I have never dealt with. But I will choose not to deal with them based on just, you know, what they, oh my God, the endless waits, I don't think I can handle it. I'm just going to go elsewhere, even if I have to pay more. So unstructured queues don't help anyone. Very often the unstructured queues are happening not just because the customers are irate or customers are disorganized, but there is a gap in managing the queue from the customer service agent's point of view, and it is the business of the customer service provider, whoever it is, to ensure that you are not having this mobbing and clubbing and all of that, and you have a seamless structured queue which is in place. Now, for queue management system, there are other, you know, there are other, I mentioned QueueMinder, I mentioned Visitor, there is WaitWhile, another software, there is QSIM, another software. These are the various softwares which are there for managing your queues. Now, a very interesting example of someone who has managed their queue very smartly. So we've all heard of Disneyland. And some of you may have visited Disneyland also, and they have these lovely rides and, you know, exciting, you know, tours and everything. And especially from the children point of view, they are very excited to have these rides. Now, when Appu Ghar opened in India in, you know, post the 1984 Asiad Games, that was the first time an amusement park had opened in India and had a roller coaster and all of those things. And for some of those popular queues, I remember going with my family and standing in the queue for 3 hours, 4 hours, because that was, you know, what was the wait time based on the kind of traffic they were getting. And, you know, families would come, and those were not the days when your bags were checked in this way. Things were safer. Security, terrorism, you know, episodes were not there, fortunately. So, you know, in your families in their little bag, carrying their picnic basket and their food, which and eating and, you know, chattering and all of that, standing in the queues, because they were like mentally prepared that we are going to come, sit, wait for hours, but we have to get this right. You know, we must, because this is the, this is what we want to enjoy and go back and boast about. So now Disneyland, which has been around and which is a big attraction for children and adults alike, they have a very interesting system. So for their, what they do is that for their customers, they give them, and when people are waiting for some of the popular rides, they let the people who are waiting know the estimated time it will take for them to get their turn on the ride. So one, they are making the time, the waiting, finite versus infinite. So, you know, people know that my turn will come in so much time. And they do something very interesting, that let's say that they anticipate that customer A is going to get their turn in 10 minutes. They end up saying, you know, you will get your turn in 15 minutes. So the estimate that they give to the customer is actually a little bit more than what they realistically expect it to be. So imagine a customer, you know, waiting to ride and excited and, you know, okay, I have to wait 15 minutes. And then at 10 minutes, they're like, oh, another 5 minutes to go. And suddenly they're told, oh, your turn has come. The excitement of getting your turn before the estimated time is something very simple, actually, but something which makes people really excited. So, you know, they have this They call these the happy queues. You know, Disneyland is a happy place, and you know, we have this happy queuing experience. So it's something very small and simple, but obviously it has come with a lot of analysis, a lot of understanding the psychology of the you know, customers, and hence coming up with something which creates this happiness and this glee. So various kinds of queue management softwares and systems exist all over the place, which are, you know, implemented by various customers. There are various kinds of, you know, technology, mobile, cloud capabilities, you know, integration with different kinds of software, hardware, and, you know, thousands of installations, which all of them put together, you know, can lead to a very sophisticated queue management system. Benefits are, we are seeing lower cost. You will not lose customers, customer retention, you know, customer can be free to do other things. So the whole process of customer flow management, right up to the last customer touch point, can be a seamless experience if queue management system is adopted effectively. Now, coming back to our waiting lines, another thing is that waiting endlessly causes a lot of nervousness and anxiety. Now, very often we get an option when we are waiting in a telephone queue, we get an option that would you like to call back, or would you like to be called back within 10 minutes? So if right now the traffic is very high, and it's your wait is going to be too long, so please stay on the line or press 2 to be called back. Now, very often a lot of people take the callback option, assuming that the callback option has a certain time, within a certain time frame, you know, and there is a you know, track record of receiving calls within that time frame. Because then when they do this, then they don't have to endlessly sit and wait. Let's say you're sitting at home and you are waiting in queue, and then you get either you get an estimate that, you know, within 10 minutes you're going to your turn will come, or would you like to be called back and within 20 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever. And let's say that you pick the option to be called back within a reasonable time frame. Then in that time frame, you can go and cook. You can go, you know, you not cook, but maybe you can go and have your meals. If you want to use the washroom, maybe you can go do that. If you have important emails to respond to, you can do those. So there is some other task that you can take on when you choose the callback option, when you have this response where your time is freed up. Because when your time is tied down with uncertainty, you can't do anything, and you're just sitting and waiting and waiting. And that is extremely, extremely annoying and frustrating, because, you know, science or no, unoccupied time feels way longer than occupied time. Also, unfair waits, you know, when you see that there is a queue and then you see someone queue jumping, or you see a VIP being taken, you know, a celebrity or a VIP being taken, you know, ahead of the queue, even though you have been waiting really long. Very often when we see when boarding is announced at airports, then people rush to form a queue, and very, you know, people want to board sooner than later, because, you know, those overhead cabins get full, and the hand baggage, they want a proper place for their hand baggage close to where they are seated, which will happen if they board the flight, you know, sooner than later. And very often you will see that there are people who are trying to cut the queue and queue jump. And that angers people very badly, and fights happen, and, you know, please move back in the queue, because, you know, tomorrow it's going to lead to a functional problem if you land up on the flight and all the overhead cabin space is occupied, and then they say, we have to check in your bag, and, you know, this is your hand baggage with your important things, or they place your bag somewhere very far from you because that's the only space left. So people want to board sooner than later. So if they see queue jumping happening, unfair waits happening for them, either because the customer themselves queue jumped or the company made the customer queue jump, then these are things which anger people. I have myself experienced, you know, like schooling customer service agents when I see that they are favoring someone when you have been legitimately waiting your turn, and I have said that, you know, this is unfair, and call your senior manager, and I want to take it up, and this is not right. And, you know, even when I have seen it happen to other people. You know, one has said that, you know, this is not okay, please sort this out. And that can anger people even more. And these kind of things can make people walk away from services, leave a very bad taste, and you lose the customer completely. Now, there are there are certain strategies, interestingly, where sometimes it pays to make the customer wait. So sometimes when, in some cases, when you respond to a customer immediately, don't make them wait at all in a reasonable manner, then you lose business opportunity of other kinds. So for example, if you're taking a customer to, online to a resolution, and while you are navigating them, during that navigation, you embed other your products and services while you're navigating them to the resolution, then that can help you bring in these business service opportunities as well. But obviously, you have to embed these in a way that it is not stressing out the customer. It is not an urgent emergency situation. It is a situation where, you know, reasonably you can bring in other elements also. For example, the department store west side. So when I have visited some of their Mumbai stores, what I find very, very interesting is that while you're waiting in line to reach the payment counter, you know, and usually you will have these winding lines, along those lines are racks. So while you're waiting in the line on both your sides, the line, the queue goes in between racks of other items like perfume, like deodorants, like little attractive hand sanitizers, etc., which are also placed along the queue. And very often while I'm standing in queue with some item I had purchased, I actually get attracted to something placed on these aisles which are running alongside the payment queue. And I end up picking one of those and buying them. And now here, internationally, if you go to a lot of the larger stores, practically most of them will have very attractive little items lined up along the queue where you are waiting your turn to make payment. And whether it's children who get drawn to it, whether it's adult, I have myself ended up picking things I didn't initially want to buy on the way to the payment counter. So sometimes in a reasonable way, given the situation and the service here, one can embed other business opportunities also by making a reasonable wait in other ways. So there are a lot of aspects in the queue management system, lot of strategies, lot of, whether average wait time, your total wait time, the length, all of those things. When I was mentioning the ServiceNow report from Mint yesterday, interestingly, one of the data points there was that despite this 15 billion hours of wait time, which is wasted, actually, that is an improvement over the previous year because the average wait time per person was 3.2 hours less than the previous year. So, what are understanding, what are the contributors to this wait time saving, even if the absolute total is very, very high, but the average wait time per person, what has contributed to saving this wait time, because 3.2 hours per year is also a significant amount where you can be productive, because queuing at the end of the day is pretty much unproductive waste, right? You're not being productive at something else while you're queuing and not doing, and unoccupied and not doing anything else. So a lot of things, fairness, reduction of anxiety, occupying their time, keeping people happy, happier queues are a very important part, being aware that what are the aesthetics of the place where you are queuing? Is it clean? Is it sanitized? You know, there are times when there is somewhere where one is queuing and there are, it's a very common thing which one has encountered that, there's probably a lot of mosquitoes out there and people are like scared that we have no choice but to queue here, but, we hope we don't fall sick. So making sure of the sanitation, cleanliness, general order about the queuing space also adds to the happiness and the wellness of the customer. And of course, making sure that the line is moving. Sometimes you just have these slow, endless lines, making sure that the line is moving at a reasonable pace, and making sure that you are giving a finite idea in terms of how much queuing time is required. So we have been touching on a lot of these elements, once again, reinforcing the tenets in terms of, psychologically unoccupied time feels longer. You have people want to get started. When I know that I have to wait, I don't know when I will get started. When you give me an estimate, finite time, 10 minutes, then I know that in 10 minutes, I'll get started on this resolution, and then I can move with to something else. Without, till then, it's just a pending box which has not been ticked off, you know. So people want to get started. Anxiety, you know, the feeling of nervousness, you know, they're saying that, you know, your estimated wait time is 7 minutes, but is it really going to be 7 minutes? And am I going to have to listen to that music? And the introduction of music was also to make the wait time simpler and more pleasant and less distracting. However, a lot of times people find the wait music extremely annoying and irritating. So I don't know how much of the purpose is being served through that. Anything to reduce anxiety so that the wait time does not feel longer. Finite and infinite is extremely important, but also with finite and infinite, just giving a turnaround time and a response time is not good enough. It has to be adhered to also. If you are, as a customer service entity, if you are giving timelines just arbitrarily and not really living up to those, you will get a bad reputation. You will get people posting about it and saying, you know, it says so much and, you know, you don't. You have to ensure that your software, even for long holds, does not get disconnected, because then when the person calls again, they have to restart the whole process of waiting. And very often people say, why did I get disconnected automatically? You know, so is there a manual intervention where someone is getting frustrated, some customer service agent is getting frustrated and disconnecting, or it's a software issue and automation issue? All of these things have to be analyzed, tracked, and made sure that they are working seamlessly. And of course, unfair, you know, if someone is being unfair, I remember at one point of time, when there was a sale, there was a waiting queue at the, you know, when there are sales in a waiting queue, you have people wanting to try outfits, and during sales, the waiting queues outside the fitting rooms get very long. A lot of the times the department store will put a maximum number of clothes that you can take into the waiting room, that you at any point of time, from a theft, etc. point of view also, and from a queue management system point of view, that if you are, you are only allowed to take in 5 number of items, and, you know, so that the next person's turn comes. But one time what was happening was that this one person who had gone in had taken 5 things, but there was someone standing outside, right outside the door, someone accompanying them who was not part of the queue. But this person would come, return those 5 items and grab those other 5 items, which was making this person become 5 customers versus being 1 customer. So delaying other people's use because they kept on getting handed additional items. Now that is very unfair, and chances are that, especially if it is women, they're going to get up and fight about it, and possibly rightly so. So fairness is very, very important. So there are a lot of these tenets of queuing, which are simple, but which go a very long way in making queue management effective and efficient. So some of the recent trends: call forwarding, electronic queuing, virtual queuing, inline merchandising, as I was giving you the example of Westside, and, you know, internationally, it's a very big thing. So a lot of these things are, you know, self-service kiosks help a lot because they reduce the, especially at, you know, busy traffic points like your airports, train stations, etc. They allow people to get started and move on without having to, queue up and save their valuable time. So all of these aspects go towards creating a queue management system and a customer experience which is conducive to both the customer and to the provider. Now, before I wind up this discussion, we have discussed a lot of elements of service management. Now, study those, research those. If some of the examples I've given to you, you want to go and look them up a little more. But I'll leave you with an example where how someone through something small and simple can go out of their way to enhance a customer service experience, which benefits them not just from the satisfaction of an individual customer point of view, but also from the point of view of branding and publicity, which they don't have to spend anything on, and your satisfied customer becomes your promoter. So Lego, as we know, the Lego blocks which are made, Lego had a young child. He was 11 years old, and he had wanted a specific emerald night train set for his 11th birthday. Now he had Asperger's syndrome, and he was passionate. You know, people who collect these and who buy these are passionate about, the sets that they want. Very often there are limited edition, etc. And because the demand is so high, they keep going out of stock. Now this little kid, he saved all his birthday money, whatever other, core money that they get, money that they earn for various things. And he saved all his gifts and money for 2 years to be able to purchase this. And by the time he had the money put together, he was not being able to find, it was out of stock, and he was not being able to find this set, or maybe the price had changed and he was no longer being able to afford it. And he was completely crestfallen. However, he managed to find a social worker, and with the help of the social worker, they wrote to Lego and sent a letter of how much he wanted it. And little did he know that Lego read the letter and decided to surprise him on his 11th birthday with this train set that he wanted. Now, the fact that I am telling you about it sitting in India 15 years after this surprise that Lego sprung on this kid, you see how this spread and was written about and publicized all over. And the image that Lego has, that you're not just a profit hungry company, but you're a company who cares about the customer and treats the customer as number one priority. So various aspects of customer service management, which help us understand why customer is king. Thank you.